You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Halichman.
We're back here with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show, Holy Land Hoops, where we bring you the best of Israeli basketball, all the northern area, down south a lot, and all the great cities in between, Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, and many, many more. Welcome aboard. Of course, we have a great show for you today. We're going to be talking with the sons of the Sports Rabbi. Yes, we are going to be discussing the Israel national team as they just swept their two opening games in World Cup qualifying. And, of course, we're talking about the Basketball World Cup qualifying, the FIBA and not the FIFA. And then right after that, we're going to have Roy Shalom on. We're going to talk about all the latest and greatest news in the soccer world here in Israel. Of course, we have a midweek action, game days all midweek. So we're going to talk about what happened this weekend going ahead into the midweek. Of course, if you like this podcast, make sure you subscribe to us, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. Make sure you check us out at The Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news in Israeli sports, both in English and Hebrew. How you doing today, boys? Moshe, how are you?
Doing well. Why not? Because the Israeli national team is doing well.
And Dov, how about you?
Doing great.
All right, you're doing great. Are you doing great because the Israel national team swept the two games against Poland and Estonia?
Second candle, two wins.
There you go. Second candle, two wins tonight, of course. Exciting times. I mean, listen, let's really focus on the Estonia game because Roy Shalom and I went over the Israel-Poland game, which was terrific. Israel did a great job at home after going down by 15 points in the first quarter. They came back. They had a problem. They went up to Estonia, a place where they lost by 16 points the last time they played there. Not that they have great players, and Gal Mekel spoke about that after the game, Estonia. They don't, but it's tough. It's freezing cold. They're tall. They're good shooters. They hit 11 for 19 from three against Germany, so they knew they had to close them down. I thought that it was really a team effort today, Sunday night, really a team effort. You had four players, I believe, with scoring 10 points. You had a couple players in double-doubles, Gal Mekel with 10 assists. Nimrod Levy, 10 points, 11 assists. It was just an overall good, rebounds. It was all around a good game. Dov, thoughts on the Israel's victory?
Yeah, it was a tough win, but every win counts. And road wins, as we know, in every competition for any team in basketball is crucial, crucial, crucial to win those away games. And Israel was able to pull it off, not with a ton of style, but with enough to get through. And 2-0, two wins, no losses is a great, great start for the campaign.
No question about that. Moshe, 2-0, the Dov mentioned the away win, right? They only have four more games in this first group of World Cup qualifying. The way it works is that the top three teams move on to the next round. And the next round actually starts in August, which is kind of, it's interesting the way the calendar works out. The next window is February. There's two games, home and away against Germany. Then the window after that, end of June, beginning of July, they have a home game against Estonia, away game at Poland. And then the next round already starts in August, from the 22nd of August to the 30th, where they go into a group where if you say bring over five wins and one loss, you're in really good shape to advance to the World Cup, because 12 teams make it out of Europe. Right now we're starting with 32. It's going to be split down to 24. So you have a very, very good chance. So they can get off well, and 2-0 is the perfect start. 4-2 already, it's a little bit dicey. 5-1, if they can finish off, is great news. Germany did not look good in their games. They basically slipped by Poland. Poland came back and, they were playing lousy Poland. Then they came back. Germany started playing up to the standards of the Poles. And, we saw Poland was not very good. I mean, they hustled and all that, but they were not a great team. And then from there, they go right into the Eurobasket. So it's kind of like these windows are kind of like preliminary games going into the Eurobasket, which starts for Israel at the beginning of September. in Prague. So, Moshe, thoughts on the way that the calendar works and the chances that Israel can move on?
I think there's no doubt that the Germany home game is the key game. Obviously, at away, it would be much tougher, but if Israel could beat Germany at home and obviously collect an away win against Poland, a home win against Estonia, which to me it shouldn't be as hard and it shouldn't be a problem. But I think they're doing a great job for now. Obviously, winning an away game is big. No away games are guaranteed wins. And Israel really came out clutch in the game. If it's John DiBartolomeo coming in, if it's Gal Mekel, obviously, with all of his experience, Nimrod Levy, who's just looking amazing recently, Idan Zalmansen with more points than minutes. I mean, Israel had so many players who showed up. Rafi Menko, who played great basketball. Even Tomer Ginat, who got injured, and that's very sad what happened.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
But Israel just have so many players that are good. No one's above anyone. And you know what? Even though right now we're happy no one's above anyone, we would wish to have Deni Avdija some point for the national team, hopefully in the Eurobasket, and obviously guys like Tamir Blatt and Yovel Zussman could help a lot also. But I think when Deni Avdija would come in, this national team could be a big powerhouse.
Yeah, they could be a very, very good power. Bring you back to the days of the early 2010s when Israel played Italy and Montenegro. There were some great games against Andrea Bargnani and Nikola Pekovic, against Caspi and Lior Eliyahu. It was great stuff. It was amazing games. One thing that's very interesting about the schedule, they're lucky that they get Germany home and away in February, because if they get them at the end of June, early July, there's a good chance they're going to play with NBA players, and Germany has really a lot of high-quality NBA players. Israel does not. Instead, they're going to get Estonia and Poland in that second, that third last window. They don't have very many NBA players. Estonia has none. There will be some players that will be available from EuroLeague, of course, but it's really key if you think about it. If Israel can knock off Germany in both of those games, they're 4-0 going into that last round. I mean, literally, this was served up on a silver platter for Guy Gudas. How much pressure do you think Guy Gudas was under, Dov, going into this World Cup, especially knowing his club team, Maccabi Rishon LeZion, was not doing well? He admitted today in an interview with Yaakov Meir, Israel Hayom, that the last week was not simple for him, that Yaakov Perry, the chairman of Maccabi Rishon LeZion, was really on his case and seeing the team was in last place. Talk a little bit about that. I mean, you know, from that perspective.
Yeah, it's there's a certain type of conflict that these coaches have, which they, on one hand, they coach a national team and at the same time they coach a club team, because they have to switch quickly mentally between their situations. And Gudas, I have to congratulate him. He really made that switch and was able to make the national team play well and win, which is the most important, you know. For Rishon, they might have, some of their games, they might have looked okay or played well, maybe, but they still lost. And Gudas was able to bring the results, which he's struggling to do in Rishon, and a respect to him. And I'm sure he hopes that he can convert that back to Rishon. And now they signed a few players and released some players, so we're going to see a different type of Rishon now.
Yeah, they signed, of course, Morris Watson's coming in, and there's rumors Daryl Monroe may join the team, De'Almond Simpson may join the team, so there's some action there with Rishon LeZion. Let's get to one more thing before we get to the sticker issue. Moshe, Nimrod Levy, Gal Mekel, who's your MVP for these two games if you have to look at it? Is it the veteran guard that came back from injury? Is it Nimrod Levy who, you know, it seems to be when he's with Jerusalem and Maccabi Tel Aviv doesn't perform well when he's in the big spotlight, but with the smaller teams, if it's Nes Ziona, Ashdod, about Galil Elyon, do, and then, you know, really Guy Gudas trusted him and he really paid him back.
Yes, the surprise player and also X factor to me is Nimrod Levy. I still think that Gal Mekel is the MVP. I mean, first game, his three threes in a row really made it for Israel. So yes, he had a horrible start to the game, but after that, he's basically the player that got Israel the win, you can say, in a certain sense. And Nimrod Levy, who is excellent in both of the games, but I can't say that he won it alone, but he definitely deserves a ton of respect, and he's in a very good spot now If it's for the next games and the qualifiers or the Eurobasket, Nimrod Levy is a name you can't skip. He's a must-have in the national team coming off the bench, and I really enjoyed what he did. He played great basketball. And also, Mekel's second game was just phenomenal. Double-double with assists. You can't ask for more than that. Also, he had a clutch free. So Gal Mekel is the MVP, but Nimrod Levy is more than just a surprise package. He's really one of the key players in the Israel national team, and he's in a great spot for the future.
I think the other good thing here that we saw was that Maccabi Tel Aviv released four players for some of these games. Two players, Jacob and Yiftach Ziv, were in the first game and the second game. Second game, they parachuted in John DiBartolomeo as the naturalized Israeli, along with Roman Sorokin. Both of those players really played well in that game. They really picked up the slack. Sorokin was terrific. John DiBartolomeo hit some huge shots. At the beginning of the game, he just was all over the place. But then when it came down to money time, he hit all his free throws. He hit big shots down the stretch, was terrific. Let's get on to the stickers. Okay, it's time for all the basketball leagues, and that includes FIBA. That includes the EuroLeague, the Europe Cup, the Champions League, the Israeli League. It's time to get the stickers off the court because Tomer Ginnat went for a flyer, and apparently we thought it was his ankle or something that ended up getting hurt. Apparently he probably tore an abdominal muscle. I mean, from taking such a wild spill, and he slipped twice. It wasn't once, he slipped twice. I mean, you got to get these stickers off of the floor. It can't be worth that much money in advertising. And if not, can't they find some kind of sticker that's going to stay on the floor, or that they can beam it from some kind of light, or the TV can put it on? I mean, we see in the NFL, you have 10-yard lines, 20-yard lines. You see all that fancy schmancy technology. And I think Jake Cohen said it yesterday, 2021. I mean, he is a player representative for Maccabi Tel Aviv with the EuroLeague Players Association. They should make a big deal about this. It's enough of these stupid stickers. I know this isn't a EuroLeague thing, but it is to some aspects because there are stickers on EuroLeague courts also. Can we please get rid of the freaking stickers already?
Yeah, they should really get rid of them. Injuries like this can be avoided, and it's a real pity because Ginnat has been playing well both for the national team and for his club team for the last while. And it's just a real pity.
The stickers is a big issue, and they need to be out of the court. I think we need to have here a clear statement. No stickers, because otherwise, if there is stickers, then there shouldn't be basketball. And some people are writing this very interesting, that players should just not play if the stickers stay. I think that could be a strong statement from players, and it would really make all of these leagues starting to do something, because this is a big disgrace, and in 2021, it shouldn't happen. Okay, so yes, we have some coronavirus in 2021, another thing that shouldn't happen, but stickers is something you could get rid of with no problem, so please, this needs to be dealt with by every league that has it. It's a big disgrace, and it endangers the players' health.
You know, when we were at Hapoel Tel Aviv's media day, there was a huge Winter League sticker in midcourt, yeah. And I slipped. Mm-hmm. I was walking, and I slipped. So there are issues. The leagues have to really clean that up. Lastly, before we go, we have literally 30 seconds left. Maccabi Tel Aviv, let's just talk about them for a minute. They have EuroLeague game on Thursday night against Real Madrid. Real Madrid is 10-2. Maccabi Tel Aviv, definitely not 10-2. They're 7-5. Can Maccabi Tel Aviv win this game in Spain, Moshe?
No, in my opinion, Maccabi Tel Aviv need a real miracle. If I needed to predict, they'll come much more committed than the last games, which was a disgrace the way they lost. You know, if you take Alba Berlin and Olympiacos together, it's really a bad look. If you take only one game, it's not as bad. But two games in a row to go out like that is not a good look at all. So Maccabi would give a fight for the first minutes, but I think Real would blow them out starting from the end of a first quarter around. I don't think there's much of a question who's probably going to win this game. Real Madrid are at home. Maccabi need a real miracle, and I'll say something on the long run. I don't see this team getting to the playoff with a basketball for playing now. There's a few teams competing with them, a few better teams under them. It's going to be very tough for them, and they need to start playing much better.
Final thoughts, Maccabi Tel Aviv, Real Madrid?
I think it's pretty sealed that they're going to lose.
You guys, really, my goodness.
I really,
it's miracle time.
I barely, the last, I there's very few times I remember them winning there. One of the few times was when Chuck Eadson had an MVP performance under Pini Gershon in 2010. And that shows you how long ago it was. And that was like 66-64. So maybe if Giannis can get the players to play really good defense, and through the defense they can win this game. But otherwise, forget it.
Well, I guess we'll have to see. I'm a little bit more optimistic. I think Maccabi Tel Aviv come back with a good performance. I've watched Real Madrid a number of times. They're not as good as their 10-2 record indicates. I really don't think they're good. I don't think they're that good, and I think they can. I think that they give it. I think I'm being shooed off the stage here. Anyways, guys, this is great to wrap up the basketball scene. Of course, we'll be back probably later on in the week, and we'll wrap up the Maccabi Tel Aviv game against Real Madrid. I'll get on with Shalom with that, and Shalom's going to be coming on right now. And then, of course, we'll have some guests. We have a very, very special guest for our 250th episode that will be coming out around the beginning of next week. Very, very special guest. You'll enjoy it. It's a great, great, great person. Great interview. It's going to be a lot of very interesting stuff in that interview. For right now, Sports Rabbi bidding you adieu, and we'll see you on the other side here with Roei Shalom.
You're listening to the Sports Rabbi.
All right, we're back here with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Hackman. Of course, welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi show. We're on to the football Israel side after having a discussion about the Israel national team on Holy Land Hoops with the Hackman brothers, Dov and Moshe. That was a lot of fun. Hope you enjoyed that part. Now we're into Israeli soccer. Yes, Israeli soccer with a midweek games coming up. We had games this past weekend. The Sports Rabbi did a disastrous job on it. It wasn't that disastrous. I went 3-4 on my picks. But today we are celebrating Roei Shalom for going 6-1 in his fine picks from the Israeli League. Absolutely unbelievable job by Roei Shalom. That's the best score we've had all year. I admit it. I was a loser. Roei Shalom is the winner this week. I'm not going to try to take any credit away from him. There was a bunch of games, not very many surprises, actually. I think it was pretty much kind of how we thought the week was going to really shape up. Maybe I tried to be a little bit fancy trying to pick up all Haifa from Maccabi Tel Aviv. That didn't really work out that well for the Sports Rabbi, of course. Beitar Jerusalem was up to their old ways of a fine 0-0, dull, dry, goalless draw. But we're going to get all into all that, and then we're going to talk about the midweek, and of course we'll be at the end of the week. There's lots of soccer, lots of action. Roei Shalom, how are you today? Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. I'm calling it the Hanukkah miracle. You know,
the Hanukkah miracle.
There you go. it's exactly that. But yeah, it feels good. It really feels good. So thank you for everything, and you know, I'll take the next Subganya. I'll celebrate for the win. Uh-huh. And, you know, I'll just, and hopefully Hanukkah can be for all the whole year. Cause you know, I guess it's my holiday. I can call it right now for sure.
All right. So let's get to the games. Maccabi Haifa 3-1 winners over Hapoel Tel Aviv. Hapoel Tel Aviv takes a 1-0 lead on an Einbender penalty. But then, of course, three unanswered goals by the Greens. Omer Atsili with a beautiful strike. Just whipped around Yoav Hofmeister, left him in the dust, and put a scorcher into the far corner. Dean David with a goal. Atsili polished that up with a penalty. 91st minute, polished off that 3-1 win. Barak Bachar was happy. Good, solid victory. Of course, Nir Klinger was all upset, as he usually is. But that's what it is. You know, Maccabi Haifa looking good, still trying to get back to the top of the league, but they are definitely on their way there. And they look, you know, I think that Maccabi Haifa had a very good second half, and off they went.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't a great game, let's put it like that, but, you know, they did the job. Again, we've heard a Hapoel Tel Aviv say, "We had an amazing first half and we should have crushed them." And, you know, every week we hear that sentence of, we should have, we could have.
Should have, could have,
but
would have.
You didn't.
But you didn't.
Exactly. So, you know, and Maccabi Haifa has this player called Omer Atsili that just Hapoel Tel Aviv doesn't have. and you know, you can see and you can feel, you know, just one play and he changes the game. And that was his brilliant kick that just tied the score.
It's a great play.
So, you know, yeah, he's been tied for the best player since last January when he came to Haifa. He made that upgrade that the Lag Bahal squad needed. And then, you know, and he's been the X factor. And he did that again on Monday. Yeah, no, on Sunday. Today is a Monday, so.
Yeah, it's, the days are all messed up, I know.
It's so hard. It's so hard. You know, I tried maybe Hanukkah second day, you know. So, you know, a Porto Aviv, just can't get the job done. The same way they look pretty much like Maccabi Tel Aviv. You know, they scored early, and that was like, okay, they got that, but they just can't keep it up. And it just shows that a Porto Aviv is not on the level with Maccabi Haifa, and you really saw it yesterday. Depth-wise, you know, it's sad, but that's where they are, and especially with Klinger, you know. And just, I can't hear Klinger again and again go every single week just complaining about the refs, of them being better.
It's every week. It's
of the
every
fans.
Week. Of, there's always some excuse.
And you know, and this Porto Aviv team has this, you know, this, like, this roof under him. And I want to believe that with the young players that they have, where they're, the only line that didn't play yesterday, but Danny Gruber, that hasn't played all year because of contract reasons with the Porto Aviv, and he was supposed to be one of their top talents. He got the start yesterday. Finally, we got to see him. And players like Cheyenne, yes, and Osho Davida, you know, you see this young talent in the Porto Aviv, but they're just not going to go forward, especially with a guy that is just complaining all the time. You know, you need to work hard. You need to be quiet. That's how you're supposed to be. And Klinger is doing the opposite.
Yeah, but that's Klinger. Now, we have to talk about the Maccabi Haifa fans. They brought with 7,500 to Bloomfield, which is great. They put on a great show. What they didn't put on a great show is with the chairs in the stadium and the seats and the bathrooms, and they vandalized. They put up all kinds of horrible slogans and sayings and graffiti. And, you know, when are the fans going to grow up? And I'm not just, you know, pointing out here, Maccabi Haifa fans. Apparently, Maccabi Tel Aviv fans also had an issue before their European Conference League game last week at a pizza place. So, like, can the fans, like, just calm down and relax? Is that possible? Do you think so, Roishel?
It has to come, you know, from above. You know, we've seen teams try to do things, but, you know, the second teams are trying to do things, they're getting criticized by the fans, and then the fans are not coming. So then the teams are pretty much taking it easy, because in the end of the day, the team's revenue is coming from the fans. So this is getting messier every single week, and we're just hearing more and more stories. And, you know, I don't want to say, you know, COVID maybe made people go crazier, or they just, you know, go outside and they feel like they can do whatever they want. It's just sad to see it every week, because it's really, it's every week. It's every week a different team, a different story. And we're like,
fans throwing rocks. There's always something just going.
And it's across the league. It's not, you know, it's everybody. One team anymore.
Being cooped up for so many months because of COVID.
Yeah.
Everybody needed an escape.
And for the teams, as much as they like the fans and they want them in the stands and the players need them and everything, you know, the teams in the end of the day, maybe they rather have that quiet, not going to the court of the Israel Football Association every single week and getting fines. Now let's talk about that as well. Apollo Tel Aviv got yesterday. Their fine was closing the whole gate, the number 5 gate of Bloomfield Stadium.
Behind the goal.
Now, behind the goal. And now, these fans, they're mostly the loyalist fans of Apollo Tel Aviv, the ones that buy season tickets and their season ticket holders, now need to buy a ticket for a home game of Apollo Tel Aviv against Maccabi Haifa. You're pretty much, that's why you're buying the season ticket for these type of games. And they can't go in. Now, most of them, let's put it like that, are good fans. You know, of course, in every team has that small amount of fans that, you know, are the ones that are doing of the problem. But most of them are good fans that want to enjoy, you know, the product of soccer that here in Israel, it's not great. And they're paying a nice price for not great soccer, but they're so loyal to their team, they're buying it. And then they need to stay out of that stadium because of it. You know, just because a couple of guys there in the stands made the whole balagan. Now, if I was them, you know, and you're saying, okay, so maybe they should tell the fans, you know, not to throw things or not to do the stuff they're doing. But just a reminder, a couple of weeks ago or a month ago, the Beitar story of the fans telling them not to cheer for their team, and a woman decided to continue cheering and didn't listen, and she got beaten up.
She landed up in the hospital.
So what are we supposed to do? Like, what are the fans supposed to do? It's just, there's something that has to happen here. And it needs to be league-wise. It's bigger than just the soccer, the teams itself. It has to come, if it's from up top, from the Ministry of Sports. It has to start there for me. I don't know what they need to do, because it doesn't matter if there's more policemen in there or more security guards. And we know everything about the security guards that don't really care, or they're even scared themselves.
So
the security guards and policemen, it's not enough. So just find a way to fix it, because it's sickening. It's just sickening.
It is. Let's move on to the next game. Maccabi Tel Aviv 3-1 winners at Sammy Ofer Stadium against Hapoel Haifa. Maccabi Tel Aviv didn't look terrific. They weren't so convincing, but they did what they had to do, and they got the win. A couple of own goals by Anthony. Bradley Kuas lofted a corner kick into the box, and it grazed off of Luis Hernandez's head. Went to Anthony. He put it in. Talvin Chaim scored. Liran Serdal pulled a goal back. There was another own goal by Anthony off a free kick. They weren't great, but they got the job done. They got 3 points, and all of a sudden, they were like in the doldrums, like a point out of the relegation zone. And now they're already up into the championship playoffs in sixth place. They're only 8 points off of first place. You know, it's kind of funny, right? Because, you know, here Maccabi Tel Aviv has been so bad. And, you know, you get a win and all of a sudden you're back in business very quickly. And I think Maccabi Tel Aviv, you just got to start collecting wins and collecting points right now. I don't know if Beersheba is the team that they have to worry about. It's going to really still be Maccabi Haifa. But listen, it doesn't look like Barak Yitzchaki is going to be moving anywhere anytime soon. It looks like he's going to be the interim coach for the season. That's what the indications are, Roy Shalom. But Maccabi Tel Aviv did what they had to do. Elisha Levy was not happy after the game with Hapoel Haifa's performance. He looked a little distraught. I don't blame him. When you have 2 own goals, you're not going to be a happy camper, especially in front of your home crowd.
Yeah, you know, and just like that, Elisha Levy and Hapoel Haifa, that, you know, were one of the top teams so far. You know, they're dropping quickly, and you're hearing rumblings around there of Yoav Katz not really happy with the way Elisha
He's never happy with anybody. Yoav Katz likes to be in the news.
You know, True. So yeah, and you know, it wasn't a good game as well, but as you said, they did the job. Barak Itzhaki, you know, again, he's gonna stay there until they find someone, and it doesn't seem like they're gonna find someone anytime soon, at least from what he's saying. But you know, yesterday there was a surprise and a pleasant surprise as well when Tal Ben Chaim was put into the 11 of Maccabi Tel Aviv.
I don't know if and it was we haven't seen... for a lot of people, but maybe yeah, for you some know, people it was pleasant.
when I saw the lineup and I saw Tal Ben Chaim, I don't know why, but I had a good feeling about him. And I'll say this, the youngsters, or let's say the guys that were supposed to step up, if it's Nanmog, if it's Guerrero, if it's Matan Chozes, just aren't taking the opportunity, and they aren't looking convincing. You know, Gabi Kanikovsky was the guy on the left side. At times now he moved to the middle, the spot that he is better. And Dan Vitam went back to the bench. And you know, and Tal Ben Chaim came through yesterday after a brilliant pass by Kuvas, really. Mm-hmm. It was all about him. But again, he also had a couple of opportunities and one-on-ones that Tal Ben Chaim, it looked like a bit the old Tal Ben Chaim. And pretty much Barak Itzhaki is the one to give him the chance. So that was the interesting part for me. Again, Maccabi Tel Aviv allowed a goal, and that is something that is just on a weekly basis, mm-hmm. and they just can't, the defense can't get it together. But we'll have to see what Maccabi Tel Aviv can do, what type of run they can go on, and maybe this game is a start of something. But again, they also have Europe, and we need to remember that. And that seems like, you know, the bigger goal going forward, because this is the Conference League and they already messed up. So yeah, they had time to forget it, and that was the game to forget it. But again, the Conference League, for all the players, in the end of the day, they care about the Conference League. As much as they want to win the championship and everything, that's their main goal, to show their skills in Europe.
I hear you. Let's move on to the next game on our list here. How about Beitar Jerusalem? They played a fine 0-0 draw against the Paul Chaiva. Thank the Lord the sports rabbi did not decide to go to that game on Saturday night. You know, I actually thought about it, and I was intelligent enough not to go, because I would have saw a listless 0-0 draw, one of those 0-0 specials, as the sports rabbi likes to call it. Erwin Coleman, listen, he was straight and to the point in the press conference afterwards when he was interviewed on TV, yeah. And he said, like, these players just aren't, you know, they have other things going on, meaning that, you know, they're just not professionals. I think he really, forget about everything else going on with management, I think he really hit out at the players. And he basically said, you know what? These guys aren't pros. These guys are not professionals. And that they are not dedicating every single minute of their, I don't want to say their life, but maybe, you know, their day to honing their skills. The soccer players, they come in, they do what they have to do, and they leave. You know, I was listening to a podcast yesterday, and they talked about, you know, David Beckham. Did he bend the ball like Beckham because he went to regular practice from 10 to 12 and that was the end of it? Or is it the fact that he spent hours before and after, hours afterwards, just kicking free kick after free kick after free kick on empty fields, that he became one of the greatest free kick takers of all time? I mean, that's how you become great. And he kind of insinuated that the Beitar players just aren't interested in becoming great. And I hate to say it, it's a problem. It's a problem. It's a real problem.
This is the, you know, no one is saying it out loud because, you know, it doesn't sound good. And that was the first time, you know, someone from abroad really said it out loud that, you know, hey, I've been around pros, around the real soccer. And you know, this is not how it's supposed to look like now. I don't know what he's even, you know, implementing there. You know, if he is trying to do over the top things, but you know, it's, there's thing that is in his control, you know, that the players are under Beitar's time, it's called like that. And there's, you know, the behind the scenes stuff. And when you have almost 3 weeks off and you can see that the players aren't in shape as good as they were, I guess, when they were in shape, better shape, I'll call it like that. And in the end of the day, in Israel, you have great food with shawarma and hummus, and now the souvganiyot. And we know that that's a problem. You know, the soccer players like to eat pizza after the game. It's a thing here. After every single game, you eat pizza. And yeah, it's probably not really happening in other places. Maybe, you know, you get that slice, you know, or we hear the guys of going to parties after the game or whatever it is. So, yeah, it's the unwritten and unsaid story that we know about the Israeli soccer, and we've seen teams like Maccabi Tel Aviv take it more seriously and players talk about it. And now with, I want to say, Be'er Sheva back then, with Barak Bachar changing the culture and Haifa changing the culture. So there's teams that are trying to do it, and you know, but it's a really small amount of players and Israelis that are really trying to be true pros.
Well, they think that Menor Solomon just snapped his fingers and he landed up at Shakhtar Donetsk. Galil Abada snapped his fingers, landed up at Celtic. Like, these guys obviously were working their tails off. And maybe there's right. Some franchises, maybe, you know, as poorly as Guy Luzon is coaching Maccabi Petach Tikva, as they lost again, we should add, the youth department is producing, churning out players, and they're obviously teaching them right attitude and certain things that they need to do to become European soccer players. That's what has to be done. And obviously, Beitar Jerusalem is not. And of course, you know, starts with the leadership of that team, which is lying right now in jail. So, you know, what else could you say? I mean, you know, they're in a bad, Beitar is in a bad, bad spot. They're in a bad spot. They're in trouble.
And this is the time for them to gain points. Like, before January comes, because January is going to be just, you know, a big sale. They're going to sell everyone. Whoever wants any of their players will for the highest bid. It's going to be a fire sale.
It's going to be a fire sale.
In Beitar Jerusalem. And it's going to be ugly. And then we'll need to see what's going to happen with Beitar Jerusalem.
Can you imagine that? Can think about this. Erwin Coleman has not handed him the keys yet. I mean, it's you know, you think that he would have, at this point, we didn't think he was going to survive because the team wasn't going to keep him. At this point, I can't believe he just hasn't handed in the keys to the car.
You know, I want to say wait for a reason. And you know, throwing the players under the bus like that is the first step for me. You know, he's trying to show why he shouldn't be here. Now, you know, we can say maybe we don't know if he's a great coach or not. Let's be honest, because trying to coach this Beitar team is not easy at first. But yeah, for me, that interview was the first step of him saying, this is not the right place for me to be, and I'm bigger than this, and I'm better than this, so I shouldn't be here. So I still believe he's going to leave before January, because he won't want to be under that, you know, under that fire sale and say, then what am I going to do? But it seems like he doesn't want to quit. He wants to maybe be fired or, you know, get even money out of it. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. But I'm sure the Beitar players are now like, do we want to play for this guy? Probably not after what he just said this past week.
All right, we move along. Let's Ashdod 1-0 winners over Hapoel Jerusalem. Good win for Ron Ben Shimon. He says they're on their way to bigger and better things. So that's a solid win at home for them. Jerusalem again can't score. Nofa Galil Sakhnin 2-1 winners. Sakhnin over Nofa Galil in the Galilee Derby. 2-1 winners of Paul Beersheva over Kiryat Shmona. A little bit of a surprise to the sports rabbi. As much as the team fans don't like their coach, he's got the job done there. Finally, Maccabi Netanya, 2-0 winners over Maccabi Petah Tikva. Good game for Benny Lam's players over there. And just guy Luzon. The fans are calling for his head. The problem is that it's his family that owns the team. So I don't know if he's going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it. And a reporter said about giving the keys. There was a press conference with him, and the reporter asked about, giving in the keys, and he said the chances of me being fired or being let go is like you winning the lottery.
Yeah.
When I saw that quote, I was like, okay, good. His confidence level is high, and when it's inside the family, we don't just fire the guy, I guess. I don't know how that works
they're playing terrible. I mean, they're just playing awful.
I thought about it right now. It's like you firing one of your kids from doing, but they are doing a much better job than Guy Luzon. Let's put it like that, with the articles Moshe and the pictures and photography that Dove is doing. So, they're doing a much better job than Guy Luzon right now, and pretty much always. But yeah, it's a tough situation to be in. Now, Maccabi Petah Tikva doesn't have too many fans. Let's put it like that. But, with the fans that are there, they're not happy, and the team is just not they're not built well, with Lia Labada leaving and not having a good offense. So that is sad to see, because there's a lot of good, talented players there. We've seen the under 21 groups, and they are a big majority of Maccabi Petah Tikva players. So that is going to be interesting to see. One more note about Kiryat Shmona and Beersheva. Beersheva, Ramzi Sfori, right now looks...
That guy's pretty good. He's always been good, but
he's always... The talent has always been there, and it seemed like the screws were never, and all the way, he's the guy for Beersheba. He is pretty much the leader there, their X factor this year. And it's really nice to see that after years across the league in Hapoel Tel Aviv, he was supposed to be the guy for Hapoel Tel Aviv. And that never went through. So good to see him do a good job in Beersheba. And let's talk about Sovan Androvic that made his debut, but there's COVID and players' sickness going over there. Not all of them have COVID. There's one with COVID. Others were sick, but didn't have, but were negative, but didn't play. So they played without three or four of their main players. And let's talk about it. This team is not, even those players are not top level talent in the Israeli league. So best of luck to Dropich, because his team and Hapoel Jerusalem right now look like them. Hapoel Jerusalem and Nofa Galil for me are the top, with Maccabi Petah Tikva. They have the, I want to say, legacy. I don't know. The young guys, I hope they can get it through. But those are the three teams right now that are, they have a problem, and each one has a different problem. Most of them are attacking wise, with Hapoel Jerusalem not being able to score, and even Petah Tikva. So it's going to be interesting. It's really, really going to be interesting what's going to happen with the battle down there.
Yeah, definitely. Let's take a look at the games that are coming up, Roy Shalom. We'll make our picks after you had gone 6-1 last week and destroyed the Sports Rabbi. Oof. First game. All right. Tuesday, we have three games, Maccabi Petah Tikva and Hapoel Hadera. Who are you going with? What a fine matchup that is to start off the week.
Wow. I'm going to go with Hadera.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm going to go with them also. I, you know, I know games at home for Maccabi Petah Tikva, the fans are going to be going livid. It's just not going to be a good environment over there. But you know what? Maybe they will end up winning just because of that. Who knows? But I'm going to go with Hadera. Even though Hadera hasn't scored in four games. They've not scored in four games.
You know, their top guy, Momondidi, is not didn't play this last week. And he's been their anchor. And when he doesn't play this team, you can just see it. So I'm not sure if he'll be ready for Tuesday. But, you know, Koretzky just needs to change something there. And he'll get his players, you know, pumped up for this game with against the guy who's it also can be that 0-0 stinker.
I know.
Heads up.
It can definitely be a 0-0 stink bomb. I know. Natanya hosts Ashdod. The Sports Rob is going to go with Natanya there.
I'll go with a draw, but a high scoring draw.
To finish off Tuesday night, we have Beitar Jerusalem traveling up to Bnei Sakhnin. It always will be a fun game in Sakhnin, and the Sports Rabbi is going to go with Bnei Sakhnin in this game for sure.
I'm also going with Bnei Sakhnin. But you know, the thing with Beitar, and we've seen it all year long, is they're inconsistent. So they had this bad game, and then Komen goes off on them. We also saw that a couple of games ago as well, featured that he also went off in the media, and then they had an incredible game. And this game for the Beitar fans is everything. So this is going to be interesting, but Bnei Sakhnin just seems like the better team, and they have the top player with Bilal Kiyal. That again is one of the top Israelis here in Israel, and it's just really, really fun to watch.
Playing good soccer.
Playing
very good. All right, we have three games on Wednesday night. Hapoel Jerusalem host Hapoel Kiryat Shmona. Oh boy, Kiryat Shmona is going to win that game for this, even though it's in Jerusalem.
So I'll go the opposite. I'm going to go with Hapoel Jerusalem.
Okay. Maccabi Tel Aviv. Host Nofa Galil. I see no situation here where Nofa Galil is going to win the game. Maccabi Tel Aviv will win this matchup.
Maccabi Tel Aviv. Does Maccabi win by two or more?
I don't know. That I don't know. So you want to put that? I think Maccabi wins by two or more.
Yeah, I agree on you with that one.
Yeah, I think so. Be'er Sheva, they host Hapoel Tel Aviv, and I think Be'er Sheva will win this game as well.
Yeah, Be'er Sheva as well.
Last but not least,
It's gonna be. But you know what we should try to guess? What will Klinger say this time?
Oh, well, that's a very big question. that's already like you know I don't know.
Is he gonna complain? Let's do it like this. Is he gonna complain again or not?
Yeah, for sure, he's gonna complain about something. That's.
Yeah, Be'er Sheva.
Last but not least, the Haifa Derby. Maccabi Haifa, Hapoel Haifa for the city of Haifa. Maccabi Haifa are the hosts of this game, and I think Maccabi Haifa is going to win. Yoav Katz is not going to be a happy man afterwards. This is going to be a 3-1 special.
Ooh, that's a good score. I like that score. Okay, you took my score. But I'll just say 4-1 Maccabi Haifa.
4-1, there you go. All right. I guess we'll find out what's going on next time we speak. And then we have more games over the weekend. We have a whole bunch more games. It's like never-ending soccer here right now. I guess that's good news, right?
And then, you know, you take 3 weeks off.
I know. You got to start playing. You got to get the players back into shape. They're going to lose all that weight that they put on. The big game of that weekend will be on Sunday night, Beitar Jerusalem and Maccabi Tel Aviv are playing. So that will be the big game. Roy Salem, where can people reach out to you, baby?
So you can reach out at rshalem on Twitter. I can send you all. Don't be shy. And, you know, I'll probably send you like a happy Hanukkah. And if you want to, you know, say congrats to me, I would be happy to send you my picture with Sufganiya with jelly and just, you know, that big bite with the jelly inside.
That sounds so exciting. I don't know if I can contain myself. Amazing stuff. Me at the Sports Rabbi, Sports Rabbi, at the Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news in Israeli sports. Roy Shalom, enjoy the Hanukkah holiday. We'll speak to you later on this week. Looking forward to it.
Sounds good.